Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, si helele mama, helele yo. Si helele mama, helele yo. Si helele mama, helele yo. Mama, uhele siyani la sechaba, dihomo li fedile. Uhele le
fedile ni bo papa,
batware tu di pasa. Uhele le siti mela si batel, bafele ti chohane. Uhele le basimani basitana, batravi le soweto. Uhele le masiyani basat.
Right, it's another time for your favorite show on the radio, Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, your Afrocentric magazine show. It is the show that talk about Africa in the right perspective, and of course the show that give you entertainment, yeah, with a touch of Africa. Yeah, my name is Chris, and today my regular partner on the show returns. It's been a while, going to run into Mart, that we've been together on this show to do this together, and it's always great, you know, to have him around and for us to be together in the studios like this. Emmanuel Etim, it's an honor to have you once more after a long time.
It's a pleasure, Chris. It's good to see you. It feels like Christmas. You know, when I walked into the building, the producer said, "Is Uncle Chris coming?" I said, "Yes." I could see his eyes lit up, yeah. Like, finally. Yeah, just having the guys or the gang back on the radio, so... Big pleasure.
Yeah, that's Konade, you mean, the producer.
Yeah.
He's always happy to have us both on the show. Just like Konade Wofi, Konade Wonderful Wofi, it's never the same when one of us is missing.
And
it's great to be back here with
big
you.
Big pleasure, Chris.
Yeah. So a lot to talk about on the show as usual. First, what we'd like to do is to bring you up to speed with happenings around the continent of Africa. Then after that, I will talk about the culture and tourism segment, and we'll talk entertainment, we talk sport. So there's a lot to talk about today, and without further ado, we'll get on the show and quickly run you through development in African news. Some pleasant, some not so pleasant. Okay, so we're starting off in Cameroon. It's about the visit of the Pope to Africa. Now, Pope Leo the 14th has criticized foreigners who exploit the wealth of Africa for profit during his visit to conflict-hit region of Cameroon. It is one of several far-right remarks he has made over the last day, including blasting those who spend millions on wars, telling Cameroon's government to root out corruption for peace to prevail. During this visit, it appeared that the pontiff also kind of took a swap on U.S. President Donald Trump, but seems to not be in best of time at the moment, talking about Donald Trump and the pontiff himself. So the pontiff has spent the day in Bamenda, a city at the center of Cameroon's brutal and long-running separatist rebellion. Internal problems were excavated by outsiders in the name of profit, continue to lay their hands on the African continent to exploit and plunder it. He told an estimated 20,000 worshippers at a mass at Bamenda Airport. That's coming from the Pope, saying that the situation, the issues bedeviling Africa, is as a result of external factors' influence, who are plundering and exploiting the continent and reinvesting the profit they are making from the continent resources into conflict and unrest. But nothing else to say on this one, team. Alright, let's move away from Cameroon quickly and move into West Africa. Burkina Faso's military government has ordered the dissolution of more than 100 associations and civil society groups, which right groups are calling an attack on basic rights. It is the latest crackdown in a West African country, months after the government issued a decree dissolving all political parties. Since taking power in 2022 coup, the military government led by Ibrahim Traoré had cracked down on NGOs, unions, freedom of assembly and opposition to military rule. Should I say getting worse there now in Burkina Faso, because the military regime is just, you know, prescribing different union, different group, different association, and this time around it is a dissolution of more than 100 association and civil society groups. All right, we'll be here and we'll keep monitoring and see how this ends or play out in the long run. In Sudan, South Sudan, Emergency Relief Coordinator Tom Fletcher has told the UN Security Council that South Sudan is at risk of slipping into full-scale famine and collapse as fighting intensifies and the UN peacekeeping mission is cut back. That's a real one idea coming from South Sudan. The country risks severe famine in the face of unrest. Okay, 15 people deported from the U.S. who are reportedly from South America have arrived in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is the first group of an unknown number of people that the U.S. has spared, which the DR Congo had agreed to take in. The government in Kinshasa has stressed that their stay in the country is only temporary and that Washington is funding their reception, support and care. The U.S. has already sent deportees to several other African countries, including Ghana, South Sudan, and Eswatini, as part of the crackdown on immigration. Meanwhile, in neighboring Congo, Denis Sassou Nguesso has been sworn in for a fifth term as President of the Republic of Congo, extending his nearly 42-year rule after winning re-election with more than 94% of the vote. Interesting. Yeah. The president of Congo is going to extend his 42-year rule with another term. These are the things you say in Africa. Now, Israel has appointed its first ambassador to Somaliland months after it officially recognized the breakaway region in Somalia. The appointment of Michael Lutem, who has previously served as Israel's ambassador to Kenya, was reported by Israel's public broadcaster on Wednesday. But Somalia's foreign ministry released a statement condemning Israel's decision to appoint an ambassador, describing it as a direct breach of the country's sovereignty and unity. Somaliland declared independence from Somalia in 1991 following a devastating civil war, but Somalia has never recognized it. And now Israel, the first country to recognize the independence, the sovereignty of Somaliland, has sent an ambassador, to this country. Okay, and now we're moving to South Africa. Leading South African opposition politician Julius Malema, who is 45 years of age, has been sentenced to 5 years in prison after being found guilty of the illegal possession of a gun and firing it in public. But magistrate Twane Olivia allowed the leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters and MP to appeal against the sentencing, meaning that he was not immediately taken to prison. The charges related to an incident in 2018 when a video emerged showing Malema firing a semi-automatic rifle in the air during his party's fifth anniversary celebrations held in country's East Cape province. Malema has also been criticized for chanting a song that includes the word "shoot the Boer," that's referring to the Afrikaner, the Dutch and French settlers in South Africa, "shoot the farmer" at his political rallies. U.S. President Donald Trump brought this up during a tense White House meeting with South African counterpart Cyril Ramaphosa last May. Right, so that's the development here in South Africa. Malema sentenced to 5 years in prison, but he's not going to prison immediately. He's been given the chance to appeal this, and from what we understand, this could take several years. So that means for the foreseeable future, in the next coming years, his political career might not really be impacted. He might just still be able to carry on as an MP until the complete hearing of his appeal. Okay, still in South Africa, the youngest son of Zimbabwe's late former leader, Robert Mugabe, has pleaded guilty to pointing a firearm and illegally being in South Africa. Bellamy Mugabe entered guilty pleas to the two charges after he was arrested in February following the shooting of a 23-year-old man at his home in Johannesburg. The 28-year-old has been held in custody alongside co-accused Tobias Matuenzi and appeared at a court in Alexandria yesterday. Lawyers for the men told the court they were prepared to return to their native Zimbabwe at their own expense if they do not receive a custodial sentence. Okay. Right, still talking Zimbabwe now. Zimbabwe's flag, banknote and coat of arms all feature a stately looking eagle sitting majestically on a plinth. Known as the Zimbabwe bird, it has long been a symbol of national identity, but behind it lies a complex tale of displacement, colonial plunder and restitution. The bird is one of several ancient treasure sculptures that were taken from Zimbabwe by colonialists and spent decades outside the country's borders. It was only this week that after 137 years away, the final displaced bird arrived home. A moment Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa described as the return of a national icon. The great soapstone carving was repatriated from neighboring South Africa. It wound up there, having been ripped from its column, then sold to British imperialist Cecil Rhodes. On Tuesday, South African repatriated the bird, along with 8 sets of human remains previously exhumed in Zimbabwe by colonial researchers and donated to a South African museum. Their return is significant for Zimbabwe, which has also been seeking the return of their scores of the scores of late 19th century anti-colonial heroes believed to be in the UK. That's the story with some Africa countries or society. In Nigeria, you heard about the Ife and Benin, artwork, scattered all over the world. Here in the UK, in the America, in the Dutch Museum and all of that. And it is time for all these artifacts to be returned to where they belong and where they were taken from, which is Africa, different countries of Africa, really. Well, for Zimbabwe, being great for them during this week, as this national icon was finally returned home, with the remain of one of their key figure that was exhumed originally from Zimbabwe and taken to South Africa for scientific research, and later this corpse was donated to a museum in South Africa. What a horrific thing this is, really, or this was. Okay. Sub-Saharan Africa entered 2020 with its strongest economic momentum in over a decade, before a new global shock abruptly altered the outlook. After its fastest growth in a decade in 2025, Sub-Saharan Africa faces a new test. The war in the Middle East is pushing up commodity and shipping costs, and growth is expected to slow to 4.3% in 2026. That's according to the IMF. The conflict in the Middle East has triggered a new wave of economic strain, pushing up oil, gas, and fertilizer prices, increasing shipping costs, and disrupting trade, tourism, and remittances. Despite these mounting pressures, Selassie stressed that African economies have already shown significant resilience. Don't underestimate how much countries have done to contain the impact of successive shocks. However, sustaining this resilience will require continued effort. In the short term, government must protect vulnerable populations and maintain essential public spending, particularly in areas such as food security. Right, that's an interesting way to end this news and current affairs segment of this show. That's talking about a positive one there for Africa. In year 2025, it is believed that the economy of sub-Saharan African countries grew positively. I mean, it seems the growth were unprecedented, at least in decades. Particularly countries like Nigeria and Ethiopia were singled out, you know, for praise. Of course, we remember the policy of the president of Nigeria, President Tinubu, who removed subsidy, who also stopped backing the currency. In a way, that might mean something good in terms of foreign investors and, of course, other development. But, yet, like most Nigerians have said, this has not really translated to ease and better life for Nigerians.
Well, it's surprising that he actually has a highlight, like you've mentioned. Most of his foreign policy seems to be in favor of some of the things he mentioned during his electoral campaigns. But like you mentioned, which is essential, we still do have family members and friends in Nigeria who continue to complain of how difficult it is. Things are expensive, the most basic things that you should have without force, it's pretty much a struggle, and that's why his second term electoral campaigns will be entirely different from what he promised in the first. So as much as we give him credit for the few things he's done, there's still a lot of things that needs to be done to put that country where it genuinely deserves to be. You know, when they speak of Nigeria as the what's the statement as the highlight of African democracy, it doesn't look as it is at the moment now. So fingers crossed, Chris. There's still a lot to be done economically, politically, security wise. Every single time I come on the broadcast, likewise you, it's surprising that you didn't highlight any security concerns. It looks like the country is safe, but if you scan across certain news section, you see that there's a kidnapping going on somewhere. There's so many. There's just so much going down in the country.
So much.
And you don't want to let that overshadow the few things he's done considerably well. Yeah.
The thing is, the IMF and the economic experts, these are people
that's saluting his
effort. They are saluting him because they are not on in Nigeria. And this is not peculiar to Nigeria alone.
Of course.
Some countries have taken similar steps. That's why Nigeria, Ethiopia, and a few other countries were singled out for praise. Subsidies were removed on essential commodity. The currency before now, we know how it was. A pound to Naira, as at May 2023, I remember, was officially around £500. Now, a pound to Naira, the Nigerian currency, is just around 2,000 Naira. That's a lot because it does seem the government used to back the Naira against dollar before now, but that's no more the case. So the Naira should find its strength naturally. And this has really impacted the people in Nigeria. This might be good for Nigeria government because it helped them save more money. You don't have to spend to defend the currency. So whatever foreign exchange you receive, you can use it for something else. Same goes for, petrol and PMS that was subsidized before now, and diesel as well. You don't spend all this money on subsidizing again, so you save more as a government. But the impact of the subsidy that has been removed is on the people. The cost of transportation, the cost of commodity, the cost of living generally has risen. And this is a country where we have a lot of people who are jobless, and people who are even in employment are not earning as much. So that's where the inflation comes in. So that's why we say, yes, if you're praising the government that they've taken some steps, the policy are yielding, that's for the government, not for the people. So it's not up to the government to translate these to, to ease, to mean ease for the people, build more infrastructure, and spend more money to refine crude oil product in your country, so you don't have to spend to import or buy from Dangote every now and then. So these are the things the government should think of doing. The savings from the subsidy, the saving from, you know, backing the Naira. What has the money been used for? Because there's no positive. I mean, it's always complained when you talk to people back home in Nigeria, it's always complained that it's very difficult to live in Nigeria, the cost of living and all of that. And that's the truth.
True.
Yeah. So that's just going to be the size of this segment of the show, the news and current affair. It's going to be time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about culture and tourism. But for now, we'll take a pause for this music. Going Back to Africa by Amunga. We'll be right back.
Oh, gentle countrymen, I'm going to say farewell to all people in America. Oh, gentle countrymen, I'm going back to my home in Africa. I'm going back to my home, my home in Africa. My people are crying for me, so let me go back home. So let me go back home. My life in America, such happy, happy life. My life in America, such happy, happy life. But I'm feeling loneliness when I remember Africa. But I'm feeling loneliness when I remember Africa. My home of happiness, so let me go back home. So let me go back home.
Honorable countrymen, we've had a wonderful time together. I've enjoyed seeing your mountains and your rivers. I've admired the national character of your people. But you know, home is always sweet, and all my beloved ones live there. And when I remember Africa, how I long to go back home.
I'm going back to Kenya, that part of Africa. I'm going back to Kenya, my home of happiness. I'm dying of loneliness, please let me go back home. My people are crying for me, so goodbye.
All right, I'm going back to Africa by David Amunga, and that's what I'm doing to you. You and you listening to me now, because I'm taking you back to Africa through this platform. You know, Radio Africana, with this program Africa Weekly. You know, that's again going back to Africa from David Amunga that we enjoy. That's after the current affairs segment of the show, where we bring you up to speed. We brought you up to speed with development, you know, in Africa. Now it's time for us to showcase a particular African culture, and today we're going to a particular tribe or ethnic nationality in Nigeria, southern Nigeria, Cross Rivers to be precise. I'm talking about the Efik people, you know, of a Cross River of Nigeria. Now, the Efik are an ethnic group from southeastern Nigeria, known on southeastern Nigeria, and it's correct that it's now south Nigeria. It used to be part of the eastern Nigeria, lumped together with the Igbo-dominated, you know, region, just as we have the west dominated by Yoruba, the north dominated by the Hausas. Now, it's been broken down into not even region anymore, cis geopolitical zone in Nigeria. So the Africa in Cross River, which is south Nigeria. Okay, the Africa known for their rich cultural heritage, language, and historical role in trade. The Efik people are mainly found in Cross River and Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria, with smaller populations in Cameroon. Their historical settlements include Calabar, Creek Town, Duke Town, Old Town, Kobam Town, Henshaw Town, Adiaibo, and Mbiabo. The Efik also occupy part of southwestern Cameroon, including Bakassi. The Efik speak the Efik language, which is part of the Benue-Congo subfamily of the Niger-Congo language group, which serves as a lingua franca in the Cross River region. The language is rich in proverbs, oral traditions, and storytelling, and was one of the first Nigerian languages to have a written orthography and a Bible translation. Right, the Efik have a complex history with multiple origin theories. There's a theory that linked them with the Igbos, you know, suggesting migration from the heartland of Igbo in present-day southeastern Nigeria. There's also the Ibiobio origin theory, proposes that the Efik are a branch of the Ibiobio people sharing linguistic and cultural ties. Well, to my little understanding, I do believe both the Efik and Ibiobio, this is from me now, do have a common origin or common migration route, or same wave of migration could have brought them into the present day Nigeria or present day Cross River or Akwa Ibom State of Nigeria. And I strongly believe they must have something to do with a Bantu civilization in eastern Africa, and they are the part of the Bantu civilization that stretched west into Nigeria, and that's why they are on the fringe of West Africa. Etim, I'd like to have your opinion on this, because you laughed, and I know the reason you laughed when I talk about it, Efik.
Why?
Well, it's your region.
Is it?
Yeah, that's where you're from.
Oh, I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, you don't have to think so. I'm going to expose you. So you need to talk about it. I might be wrong.
Oh, no, you know, you're not, of course. No, we've known ourselves so long. And the surname just gives it away. It tells that, okay, he's from the south part of Nigeria. Mm. Nutshell, Cross River State is here in town to be specific, Calabar Municipal. So it's surprising. You know, I giggled. I never thought we'd be on the broadcast and it would be Cross River State being amplified on our culture and tourism segment.
Yeah, I do understand. All right. Historically, the Efik were involved in the transatlantic slave trade as middlemen, and later transitioned to trading palm oil, rubber, ivory, and other goods with European merchants. Their strategic location along the Cross River and the Atlantic Ocean facilitated commerce and political influence. Yes, Calabar, as a city, I've been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful city. Very clean.
Shouldn't say used to be.
Very clean.
Maybe not the market.
No, very clean. The last time I visited, it's been a while now.
Good.
The last time I visited Calabar was in 2019 or 2020. That was
6 years ago. Is a long time.
2019, really. Mm-hmm. That was before COVID. 2019, very beautiful and clean, hospitable people, and good food.
You can say the south good part food. Of Nigeria.
And historically, the I wouldn't say they play a pivotal role in slave trade, but they are in the part of Nigeria that has natural outlets to the sea, the port and all of that, so it was easy
transportation wise,
the transportation of slaves out of, you know, was it the Bight of Benin? They were part of it. Was Calabar part of Bight of Benin? No but they had access to the Atlantic Ocean, so that was why they got involved in the slave trade and all of that. And at the time, Calabar was made the capital of Nigeria. Nigeria was first administered as a country from Lokoja, maybe the Northern Protectorate.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Southern Protectorate was administered from Calabar, subsequently Lagos, and today Abuja. So Calabar, I mean, the Efik land has always been an important, land for the administration of Nigeria for other business purposes strategically.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of culture and traditions, the Efik have a rich cultural heritage, including religion, traditional belief in Abasi, the supreme creator, and Atai, his mediator, alongside water spirit called Ndem. Today, most Efik are Christians, but traditional beliefs persist. The festival, notable festival include Ndok, a Banwa Pogation festival, and Usukabia, marking the yam harvest, fishery, music, dance, like Nkobi and masquerades. Correct me if I'm wrong with this pronunciation.
Okay. No, you.
And
you're doing your best.
In modern day,
yeah,
one of the leading festivals out of Nigeria is the Calabar Festival.
Yeah.
I heard the festival is not what it used to be. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've not been there to witness.
It was really special under Donald Duke when governor of Cross River State, and it continued under Lele Moke. But you know, afterwards it's been, that's why when you mentioned still the cleanest city, I just cackled. But again, I remember, you don't want to demarcate where you're from, because literally, yeah, I'm a Cross Riverian, that's where my dad is from. But it's not, you know, Calabar isn't you know what it used to be in terms of cleanliness. I think Akwa Ibom State, I've taken that. That's the cleanest city in Nigeria at the moment. But Calabar's essence in the formation of Nigeria is still very relevant.
Very relevant.
And yes, and all of this festivity still goes on. By the way, the festival is there, but like you mentioned, which is key, when Donald Duke was governor of Cross River State, the Christmas carnival was like, if you talk tourism in Nigeria, it was number one.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk the cuisine. Famous dishes include Edika Ikon, Afang Soup, Ekpang Unkwoko.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Efik Style Pepper Soup, often featuring river sauce ingredient.
Yeah.
That I give it to both Cross River and Akwa Ibom.
Thank you. So
sorry. I visited Akwa Ibom more, but I've been to Calabar thrice. Yeah. The last trip to Calabar was in 2019. Akwa Ibom, I think I still visited Akwa Ibom in 2022. In terms of food, just give it to both the Ibiobio and Efik people. True. No contest in the whole of Nigeria. Maybe in Africa as well, you know.
Yeah.
I can
Ibos
see.
The Ibos come in and say, no, the Yorubas too, by throwing a few.
No.
But yeah, you know the
South. I am of Yoruba, but I'm giving it to both Efik and Ibiobio in time of food. No contest.
Yeah.
That's from my own experience. You know.
Fair enough then.
I can see Kolade salivating. Maybe he needs to visit
a plate of Afang soup.
Yeah, to have Afang and Edika Ikon. All right. In terms of attire, traditional clothing include wrap around skirt and blouses for women, often with headgear and beads, and long robes with wrappers for men, complemented by canes, hat, and necklaces. Now, social and political organization, the Efik Society, is organized into clans, historically known as Esien Efik Itiaba, that's 7 clans, later expanded to Esien Efik Duepeba, 12 clans. Leadership is hierarchical, with the Obong of Calabar as the paramount ruler, supported by chiefs and the Ekpe Society, a secret society that historically enforced laws, maintained order, and regulated trade. Much have been said already about the Obong of Calabar in terms of his influence, you know, in pre and during and post-colonial, you know, Nigeria. That's talking about the Obong of Calabar being one of the most powerful monarchs in modern Nigeria. So that means the Efik people has always have social and political organization even before the advent of the, you know, colonizer of Nigeria. So that's going to be the size of the culture segment today. But just before we take another short break, let's talk about tourism now. We'll talk about the Efik land being a tourism hub in Nigeria, but Etim was quick to point out that it's not what it used to be. But I still believe if you visit Efik land, you'll still be able to see a rebuilt.
Oh yeah,
and still be able to enjoy yourself. You can, if you visit Cross River State today, you can tour the Agbokim waterfalls, a series of 7 cascading waterfalls, perfect for swimming and picnicking. The Obudu Mountain Resort, this was quite popular some years back, you know, offers breathtaking views, hiking, and cable car rides. Then the Calabar Carnival that I talked about before now, that used to be the leading carnival alongside the Agugun Fishing Festival in Benin Kebbi, in Kebbi State. So these are things that you can enjoy when you tour or visit ethnic now in Cross River, Nigeria. They have splinter communities in today's part of Cameroon. There's a place called Bakassi. It's part of, it used to be part of Nigeria, but now part of Cameroon officially. Yeah. Secession, or it was a ruling from the international court that handed Cameroon.
Just take that part,
You know, that also,
Jonathan, I think,
that also was or is still part of Afrique land, but now in Cameroon. So that's going to be the size of the tourism and culture segment. Just before we take a pause, because of time, it's going to be myself and Emiet. We need all the time to talk sport on the show today. We are coming to that because Arsenal, I want to believe, they are in the city of Manchester now, and they are playing for their season tomorrow against Manchester City. So we'll talk more on this. But before we do that, let's quickly run through some entertainment stories here. Now, let's talk about this one. The global rise of Afrobeat continues to take center stage as the American Music Awards unveil an electrifying list of nominees for the Best Afrobeat Artist category. Leading the charge are some of the genre's biggest powerhouses, including Burnaboy, Rema, and Wizkid, all of whom have played pivotal roles in pushing African music to global audiences. They are joined by fast-rising Ghanaian-American star Moly and South African sensation Tyler, whose recent international success has further expanded the sound and reach of Afrobeat and its sister genres. Together, the nominees reflect a vibrant mix of established icons and new generation hitmakers, shaping the future of African music. Right, interesting there. And let's talk about this one. Now, Harry Styles has officially set the stage for the new musical era, announcing that her highly anticipated third studio album, Star Girl, will be released in July 2026. The Grammy-nominated Nigerian singer revealed the news during a guest appearance on the Jennifer Hudson Show, where she spoke with confidence about the project and what it represents in her evolving career. There's this one with... let's talk about this one about Fela Nikulakbokuti. A landmark moment for African music is set to take center stage as Fela Kuti and Shade Adu are honored in the 2026 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class, announced Monday night. Fela Kuti, the revolutionary force behind Afrobeat, will receive the Early Influence Award, recognizing a legacy that reshaped global music and continues to inspire his generation long after his passing. Shade Adu, celebrated for her vivid voice and timeless sound, earns her place in the performer category, cementing her influence on artists across genres from soul to contemporary pop and R&B. So that's a big plus there, particularly to Fela, who is a pioneer of Afrobeat, you know, being inducted to the 2026 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame alongside Shade Adu, who is...
Ibadan.
She was born in Nigeria, in Ibadan, I believe, but she moved to the UK at the early stage of her life. So you can still say she's a Nigerian.
She's got Nigerian blood. You can't take that away,
Okay. Shade. So that name, of course, is one of the best names that is so dear to me anyway. So when I hear that name, definitely you know she's a Nigerian or of Nigerian descent, Yoruba particularly. So that's going to be both culture, tourism, and entertainment segment of the show. Now we are taking another pause, and when we come back, it will be time for us to talk sport, the last segment of the show. Let's enjoy this one from MC Galaxy. He called this one Sekem. It's about the rave, the vibe in Calabar. We'll be back.
MC Galaxy. Mama, 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 mama
second, Obama people second, Lisa people second, Niger people second. Yeah, anyone up? Yeah, anyone up? I won't go in back. Bobby, my father. That's the second correct. That's the second correct. Move your body, you're correct. Touch the second, second. Oh yeah, second, second correct. Second, second, second correct. Second, second, second correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Correct. Call me a guy, correct. See my baby, you're correct. Hey. Let me tell you my story.
I go Calabar. I see girls with a Pablo. You dash me body. I go all out for Lagos. I call her I see. Say I don't have the people club. Ah, where all the babies? Say they can't stay at the club. I say she is E-Fuck. E-Fuck. Now me they sing song. I'm bad like King Kong. Hey! He ain't Calabar. He ain't Calabar. He ain't Calabar. He ain't Calabar.
Nonya piso bokeh, aga na wan seyembe elost, eloska, elost, eloska. Kaya moto yedi moto, moto nika yedi ka. Boko fere citizen, ashawo pasta, abanaya. Why? Because I'm on the on sometimes I funk a kiron skin. Amadanko, let's go.
Basita baya, basita baya, yarenga basita baya. I'm in the air, I'm in the air, I'm in the air, I'm in the air, I'm in the
air. I go Calabar, I see girls with like Pablo. You dash me body, I go all out for Lagos. I call her I see, say I don't have the people club. Ah, where all the babies, say where they come, say I the club. I say she's me for you.
Right, I go Calabar, MC Galaxy, and Davido on that one there, you know, just to bring you the vibe from Calabar like we used to enjoy it back in those years, those days in Nigeria. So now that's the culture, tourism and entertainment segment of the show, Don't Wait, and we're moving on to sport, the last segment on this show. Yeah, just before we come talk about the EPL and talk about the big one that will be going down tomorrow at the Etihad Stadium here in Manchester between Manchester City and Arsenal. Let's talk about sports stories from Africa first. And this one, Etim, I have to be honest with you, I'm not too impressed. I'm starting from Ghana. Now, former Manchester United assistant manager, that's talking Carlos Queiroz, has been appointed as Ghana's head coach. That's during the week for the upcoming World Cup. The 73-year-old Portuguese has replaced Otto Addo, who was sacked on the 31st of March for the friendly defeat by Germany and Austria. The Black Stars, who are in the same World Cup group as England, also failed to qualify for the 2025 African Cup of Nations under Addo. Is Carlos Queiroz the right man to lead Ghana at this stage?
Well, that's a big question. He's got an okay CV, if you ask me.
Okay CV? What's the achievement at him?
Well, he was with Portugal at the point, correct?
And what was his achievement?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, an okay CV, not in exceptional.
The impart.
Yeah, the fact that
the most notable thing about him is being an assistant to
Sir Alex. Yeah, Ferguson. I didn't want to mention club side because, you know, most times I think it's a bit odd to analyze the strength of a manager managing the club side to the national team. Is entirely different. I've seen managers struggle when they make that switch. Very few of them succeed. But in this case, the Ghanaian national team is different. The ease for him is the fact that no one expects Ghana to win the World Cup, Chris. So It gives him that ease. But at the same time, now they expect him to at least get them out of that group, because by virtue of the teams they're supposed to play against, if you look at the quality of the Ghanaian team, they look good enough to go beyond the group stages. Some would say Emmanuel, but they couldn't qualify for the Nations Cup. At the same time, I'm one who think it was very silly of the GFA to sack Otto Addo. There was really no need
for
him to.
They should have just given him the time and
the
support.
Let the man just go through.
He qualified him for the World Cup.
He did.
For crying out loud.
Yeah,
he did. So just you know, deny him the right of leading the team to the World Cup at this point because of friendly defeat. Yeah.
To Germany, yeah.
Yeah, Germany and Austria.
Yeah.
To me, it's not the best of decisions, if you ask me. And the fact that you sacked him and you bring in a foreign expatriate that has not really done anything significant as a coach, speak volumes about what you think of your own. That's the way I'm seeing it, really.
Fair enough.
Right, that's all the best to Carlos Queiroz in his new adventure with the Black Stars of Ghana. Now let's talk athletics. World Athletics has rejected the applications of 11 elite athletes to switch their nationality to Turkey. The governing body said the requests were part of a coordinated recruitment strategy by the country's government to attract overseas athletes through lucrative contracts. The 11 athletes include 5 Kenyans, including former World Marathon World Record holder Brigid Kuzike, 4 Jamaicans and a Nigerian and a Russian. Roger Steiner, who won Olympic men's discus gold for Jamaica in 2012, was also one of the group. Turkey failed to win any good medal gold among its 8 medals at the 2024 Games in Paris. World Athletics said allowing the athletes to transfer their nationality would impinge upon a compromise the imperatives underlying the World Athletics eligibility rules and transfer of allegiance regulations. This is still part of what we'll talk about, exploitation of Africa. Look at this from Turkey here in athletics. 11 elite athletes. Though the World Athletics governing body has rejected this one, but we have athletes from Kenya, Jamaica. Nigeria, and Jamaica switching allegiance to Turkey. You think the World Athletics has done well with this?
You know, when you said exploitation of African athletes, I don't know.
In a contest, I do understand it's the athletes making this choice. Maybe they are Kenya,
you know why
Nigerian Athletic Federation are not doing what they're supposed to do.
That's it, Chris.
So
you
it's
know
not
this
just
is,
down.
Yeah, because when I heard that expedition, I was like, ah, kilo shit. They're just there. They're like they're there with all of the amenities and incentives to better the lives of these athletes, give them that conducive environment for them to shine. That's what the AFN isn't doing. That's what, in quotation now, the Jamaican Athletics Federation might not be doing, because we've seen how Jamaica have dominated in athletics since time immemorial. But it's a bit heartbreaking, particularly for our own Nigerian athletes. There, she's having, you know, I won't say the time of her life, but in reverse now. The last major championship, she wasn't registered to compete in one of the races she wanted to, and the frustration, you know, facilitated that desire to naturalized
switch.
Switch allegiance to Turkey. Unfortunately, now, like you mentioned, it's been turned down. Hopefully she can appeal it.
Right, let's see. Because I just have a thought now that it's not just about the athletes or the country they are switching to, it's also about their home federation. What are they've not been doing things rightly.
Correct.
And these athletes, they don't want to put their talent to waste. They want to use it optimally. So they better render their service to a country.
Yeah, because you know, it's not like football where you have, you know, every season, every weekend they're playing competitive athletics. It's just 3-4 months, 6 months, major races. So
this
opportunity is completely different. Yes,
to football. So now let's talk football. Let's come back to talk the EPL. At the minute, Bournemouth are leading Newcastle United 2-1. Yeah,
that's away
from home, right there.
Wow.
You know, at the home of Newcastle.
Wow.
And Leeds United probably is still smarting from their victory over Manchester.
No one cares about what happens
now. They are leading Wolves 2-0 at Elland Road Stadium, and then later on, just about a little more than 30 minutes from now, it's going to be Tottenham versus Brighton. In Tottenham are battling relegation. You wouldn't believe
they should
it.
Go down. Yeah.
I don't believe they should go down, but they are in relegation dogfight now. So let's see how they better their lot with this one against Brighton. All right, later today is going to be Chelsea versus Manchester United at the Stamford Bridge. This is the battle for the top four team.
It is.
What do you make of
what do you want me to say?
You think United can? Because it seems Niam Rosenio, the coach of Chelsea, is quite positive.
Well,
in his
has
demeanor.
To be. Yeah, he has to be. United would be without their regular back four, suspension, injuries, and the whatnot. And that defeat to Leeds United that you're trying to mock me with was a low blow, Chris. But again, they have to bounce back. If there's any team that can get a point against this very undefined Chelsea team, it's Manchester United. It's a Stamford Bridge, but I think it would feel neutral for both teams. Chelsea haven't done well. The last game against Man City, it was an embarrassing second 45. Because the first half, they held Manchester City at bay goalless. And second half, they capitulated. Now against Manchester United, who lost. So both teams coming with the same formation, the same form, I should say. Fingers crossed, United wins. I'm not going to be here and sound professional, Chris. Yeah. Manchester United must win. They have to win.
As a fan, now speaking. Yeah. Your bias and sentiment as a fan is shining.
And United are third, like you mentioned, Chelsea are sixth. So by virtue of positioning, they're still a superior team, yeah.
Okay, now see, the main one to talk about my team is coming up tomorrow here in Manchester.
Oh, that's huge.
Manchester City versus Arsenal at the Etihad. That is the game for that the soul of the title.
Yeah.
For Arsenal, yeah, it's been so shocking for them over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. They've lost the Carling Cup, crashed out of the FA Cup. Champions League in the semis, right, good. But in the league, it's going to be unforgivable for Arsenal to throw it away. And if they lose tomorrow, then it's no more in their hands.
Yeah, they have to keep outscoring City. And I want them to lose tomorrow. I don't want Arsenal to win the title. Yoruba would say Otenimi. Yeah, this one, anyone but Arsenal. United have to win the Premier League before Arsenal wins it again. If not, let the two teams.
Arsenal have not won the league title since 2004. United won in
2013.
So Arsenal needed more, if you ask me.
Let City take it. But this season, Chris, it would be really sad if Arsenal do not win, because there's any team who's shown consistency to a certain degree, it's the Arsenal.
They've done so well through the winter. They put through the winter, I thought this was the season. Then just into the spring and everything start coming crumbling.
That Bournemouth defeat shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So let's talk about the game proper now, Etim. Do you think in terms of personnel and current form, manager capability and all of that, who do you think carry the day tomorrow?
It's a big one. Arsenal will be buoyed by that performance against the Portuguese team Sporting in the Champions League, even if they couldn't score. But the fact that they've advanced to the semi-final, I'm looking at the strength. Now, Man City are in that form you don't want them to be in at this stage.
Yeah, that's the
way they played against Chelsea in the second half shows you they want to win this. And they don't have nothing to lose. They've just won. Psychologically, they won the battle against Arsenal by winning that Carling Cup, like you call it. And now they know they have to win this to put the eggs in their basket. They still have a game in hand, which I think they would win if they beat Arsenal.
And that's against Burnley.
Yeah, that's a winnable game for them, regardless of the venue. And everyone is ready. Haaland hasn't been scoring, but the good thing about a team like Man City is you've got Semenyo, you've got Doku, you've got Cheikh. Bernardo says he leaves at the end of the season. They've got Donnarumma. I mean, it's a solid squad. Arsenal might be, Arteta says, Saka won't be playing because he's out injured, but they still have quality. One of the contender for player of the season, Declan Rice, is there.
Yeah,
they just need the players to come to the party. This one is a game where you don't need Arteta to tell them what to do. You know you have to win. If you draw, it's a problem.
If they draw, I think they still stand a good chance. Yes. Really, I think to me the main thing for Arsenal is just to avoid defeat. But when you're going into a game against the City side,
we'll
think of avoiding defeat. Then you're already pinning your back to the wall for City to come out on you. And Rodri, I've said this once, it's about the mentality that Arsenal have visited the Etihad before. When they should be playing to win, they were playing for draws. And that's the mentality. For me, you've mentioned the players in City that could be a match winner. I think that is one thing that is lacking at Arsenal. It's hard to figure out who a potential match winner could be at Arsenal. And a personality that can grab the game by the,
the balls.
Yeah, and go and just be the one to make the difference when the going gets tough. Yeah. I think Arsenal has lacked that. Declan Rice has the personality, but obviously he has not proven to be a match winner.
Yeah.
He's been a very good signing and effective player for Arsenal.
True.
But he's not just there in terms of a player that can rally the team and make the difference when it gets so tough. Now, that's call I did there telling me it's
we've
time
got about
up.
20 more minutes, yes.
That time up and that we have to leave. Unfortunately, we won't be able to talk about other fixtures. But in La Liga today, we'll have Real Madrid taking on Deportivo Alaves. You remember, Madrid are out of the Champions League. Same goes for their eternal rivals, Barcelona as well. They are out of the Champions League. They too.
Thanks to Ademola Lookman.
Yeah, Ademola Lookman did so well in that particular one. That's going to be the size of the show. It's always a pleasure to have you around.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Big
pleasure.
And, we'll be back here next week, Saturday, to do this, but we might not just be able to pledge. It's going to be both of us.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
we'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Coyote, as well, for always ensuring smooth production of this show.
Yeah.
Until I catch you some other time, you, and you do enjoy the rest of your weekend, and bye for now.
Cheers.
Until we dominate, dream big, still in the show. We go from fast to slow. We know that this is our fit. Watch our game elevate. We gonna let the world know how we keep the ball in control.